You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. An intelligence firm monitored protests across our nation last summer and then sent those details to immigration officials. In documents obtained by the publication Intercept, it has been revealed that a private intelligence firm out of the Washington, D.C. area sent Homeland Security information on last summer's protests against family separation at the border, including 8 protests right here in Idaho, the largest one being at the state capitol on June 30th. Joining me live in studio to talk more about this is Kathy Grismeyer, public policy analyst with the ACLU of Idaho. And joining us on the telephone today are Emily Crichton with the American Immigration Council and Jesse Franzblatt with the National Immigration Justice Center. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
So, thanks so much.
Kathy, I want to start with you. Your organization did help organize the event last year at the state capitol on June 30th. So get people, kind of take us back to why these protests were put in place, not just in Idaho, but around the country.
Sure. So these were a set of coordinated protests that were happening all across the country, all across Idaho, back on June 30th of last summer, really as a way to come together and show outrage that the Trump administration was enacting this cruel and inhumane policy of separating families when they were coming across the border. Ultimately, ACLU ended up filing a lawsuit on behalf of some families who had been separated at the border when they were crossing into the U.S., really trying to bring awareness to the tragedy of separating families. Idaho is a state that really values families and togetherness, and to know that families were coming together to show that this was just an inhumane and cruel policy. Certainly there are legal arguments against such a policy as well, but really calling attention to the humanity that, you know, we come together as families and as loved ones. You know, we have a large immigration population here in the Treasure Valley area and the Canyon County area especially, but also, you know, Magic Valley in eastern Idaho. And so really recognizing that these policies impact people who call Idaho home. You know, there were several folks who spoke at the protests last summer talking about their own experience in detention facilities and coming to the U.S. and what those moments were like and how hard they were for them and their families and their loved ones. So it doesn't only impact, you know, the stories we're hearing on the news or in the media, but there's definitely a local impact to this policy here in Idaho.
And then, Emily, I want to bring you into the conversation because this firm called Looking Glass Cybersecurity, first, tell me about them, but we should note that we did invite them to join us on the program. They did decline that invitation. But they collected this data, correct, Emily? And this was from protests from around the country.
That's right. And if you don't mind, I'm just going to take one step back just to provide a little bit of context about the FOIA requests that were actually submitted. And so right before this sort of, you know, mass response to this inhumane policy, and before they announced zero tolerance and, you know, this really sort of began to implement this separation of families, there wasn't, we'd heard about family separation. So family separation was happening in 2017 and earlier, as we've learned. And so we wanted to find out more. And what we did was we reached out to DHS, ICE, CBP, the enforcement components of DHS, to really sort of better understand what some of these policies were. And when organizations like ours with our co-requesters, and Jesse Franzblatt on the phone is with one of the organizations with which we file these FOIA requests, we don't really know what you're going to get. So you're not sure. I mean, we understood what was happening and we understood there were some policies in place that were resulting in family separation, but we also didn't fully understand some of the policies that were sort of ancillary to some of the serious family separation policies. And so among the documents, we discovered these surveillance documents. So we had documents that were telling us things that we might expect to learn more about that were also newsworthy. You know, were there initiatives targeting family members that were living in the United States and attempting to prosecute those family members? And then there were internal communications between agency officials where they were really trying to message family separation as, you know, a way to combat human smuggling and trafficking, and really trying to tell a spin story to the American public. So in the midst of all of this, you know, we have folks who are carefully looking at these documents that we're receiving from the government. And I should mention, we did need to sue and bring an action against the Department of Homeland Security to actually get these documents. It was about a year after we filed these FOIA requests that we even began to receive documents in response to our FOIA requests. We saw a few pages amongst many other email communications that documented this surveillance of protesters. And what it was Looking Glass Cyber Solutions, which is a firm that specializes in what they call online threat intelligence collection, through web searches and social media monitoring and image-based searches, they collect information. And so, you know, we did learn from some of the reporting, the good reporting that was done here, that DHS claims that they didn't actually solicit this information, but nonetheless, they received a spreadsheet and then further disseminated that spreadsheet with over 600 mm-hmm. protests and information about the protests that included the, you know, the time and the date, the location, and I mean, this spans the country. They were including, you know, Facebook event IDs, and information about protests from Anchorage, Alaska, to Florida, as far as Mexico City and Amsterdam. I mean, one of the ones that just caught my attention as I was looking through the list is, you know, they note that there's going to be a protest on a specific dock in Ketchikan, Alaska. Hmm. So, I mean, very detailed information about protests that were happening around the country. Hmm. And this went on to fusion centers. And maybe Jesse can talk a little bit more about fusion centers. But, I mean, local law enforcement across the country was learning about these protests because of this, you know, right. company that was initially sharing that information with DHS.
So let me ask this question, though. Is anything that Looking Glass did considered illegal? It sounds like there were some ethical issues, but do we know at this point if anything they did was considered illegal or has the potential to fall into that category?
So I might turn it over to the ACLU to talk a little bit about, you know, what constitutional violations might be implicated here. And I know this might not be exactly what you're getting at, but I do think that the transparency questions here and the fact that our, you know, government agencies are consistently violating the Freedom of Information Act and mm-hmm. not responding to requests mm-hmm. for information like this are a violation of the statute. And so we really need to keep pressing them to continue to respond to these requests.
Emily, on the
constitutional question right, of whether
right.
or not.
Well, and we're finding know, that yeah. in and we're finding that in it, when it comes to the transparency issue and FOIA requests, even on
right.
a state level, in different situations here in Idaho. So you do make a good point on that.
Yeah.
But I guess, Kathy, the question is there something that the ACLU can do when it comes to bringing any legal action against Looking Glass or anyone else because of this you know, surveillance that they did?
You know, I think there's definitely concerns that are raised, rightly so, around government engaging in surveillance as it relates to First Amendment protected activity.
Mm-hmm.
So the First Amendment protects our right to go out and, you know, petition our government and redress, you know, when we have problems with what they're doing. And certainly we have very large concerns from a constitutional lens around this family separation policy. And as a response to doing that, folks came together and they peacefully organized
right.
and they demonstrated. And to know that, you know, potentially that there are mixed status families who are coming to these immigration rallies, you know, really bravely coming out and stepping out of the shadows and being very present and talking about their personal stories and how these policies impact them, than to know that Department of Homeland Security is getting this information and monitoring peaceful protests and demonstrations, I think really raises a lot of red flags.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we know entirely, and I would look to Emily or Jesse if they have additional information around how they've planned to further use this information or kind of what were next steps. But to put people on a watch list who are coming out and speaking out against these policies really flies in the face of First Amendment protections.
Mm-hmm. And Jesse, I want to bring you into the conversation as well. Emily mentioned this, that the Department of Homeland Security, they did release a statement acknowledging that, and I'm quoting from this, a private sector entity did share unsolicited information. Jesse, is this common practice?
It is common practice for the government to utilize private firms such as Looking Glass. And I think really here, the onus, the responsibility is really on the government actors involved. And so while they claim that this wasn't solicited, they obviously found the information relevant enough that they disseminated it on through the DHS's own intelligence and analysis unit to other DHS entities, including ICE's HSI, Homeland Security Investigative Unit, which targets undocumented communities and arrests undocumented folks and turns people over for deportations. And it's really the wing that carries out the very harsh enforcement practices of this administration. So the fact that DHS was gathering this information via a private contractor, and for them to say this was, I think it's pretty disingenuous for them to say this was unsolicited in the sense that they obviously were paying this company to carry out this type of information collection. These kind of private firms were created. They really started to kind of sprawl in the post 9/11 framework of kind of collect all information that you can, monitor all type of social activity for the potential threat that it could cause to government activities, essentially. And so what this really is it's kind of targeting the messengers of people who are voicing dissent against the most abusive policies of the government rather than changing the policies themselves. So going back to these companies like Looking Glass, they are built up and often they're created by former intelligence officials, the CIA, Pentagon funds these type of centers to be built, and so they are kind of profiting off of this type of information dissemination. And the other question I think that's important to ask is how it was used by these fusion centers, which ACLU and other groups have pointed out very clearly that these fusion centers are used to target dissent, and they often target communities of color, particularly and religious communities, in a way that's very disproportionate, in a way that is very clearly violating freedom of expression and
Jesse, can
individual privacy.
And can I ask you this too? I mean, I would think that when people are coming out as Kathy mentioned, peacefully protesting and wanting to make their voices heard, this has a chilling effect on any type of activism, I would think.
It absolutely has a chilling effect, and that goes to really how the government was using this. Were they using it just to keep tabs on protests? Were they using it more deeply to go into these Facebook accounts and actually look more deeply into the people organizing? It also follows a trend of what we've seen, particularly over the last year, of an increase of revelations, at least of DHS monitoring not only of protesters but of journalists and lawyers and activists. There's been more scandals about protests being monitored and activists being monitored at the border involving U.S. and Mexico officials that has come out. There were more revelations earlier this year about lists that ICE drew up in New York to monitor protests against the Trump administration's policies. So it's really part of this growing trend of monitoring dissent and this effort to kind of stifle dissent to the most egregious policies of this administration.
And Kathy, last question. Where does the ACLU go from here in this situation? And also, we do know that this information wasn't given to local law enforcement across the country. Do we know if that happened here in our state?
At this point, we're not aware of how this information maybe made it into the hands of local law enforcement. With a rally this size, I think there were easily over 1,000 plus people who came out to protest last June. So there's certainly, law enforcement presence that does come out to rallies like this, especially, for a number of reasons. So it's definitely worth investigating and seeing who got this information, how it was used, how was it being kept or stored, There's just a lot of unanswered questions here, I think, in terms of the family separation policy, just generally speaking, because that ultimately is what sparked these protests to come into place. And then, the monitoring from then on. There was recently a ruling that says the government has 6 months to reunify these families, even though the government is trying to say they need 2 years, which is, you know, they've created this crisis. They chose to enact such a cruel and inhumane policy, and they really have the burden to reunite these families and make sure that they reduce the amount of harm. I mean, there's already been tremendous amounts mm-hmm. of harm impacted and inflicted on these families, but they have a role and a responsibility to minimize that harm as much as possible. And so working with our National Immigrant Rights Project through our National ACLU office, working on that lawsuit and making sure that those families continue to be reunified and holding government accountable to fixing the mess that they made. So that's another aside in terms of how the broader conversation mm-hmm. on family separation is continuing to go.
I want to thank all of you for coming in today and talking more about this. My guest, Kathy Grismeyer, she with the ACLU of Idaho, Emily Creighton of the American Immigration Council, and Jesse Franz Blue of the National Immigrant Justice Center. Thank you all so much.
Thank you.
Up next, are muscles trying to invade Idaho? We will take a look at that. I'm Gemma Gaudet. You're listening to Idaho Matters.